Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. There are some words that we never get tired of, and here's one set of them. I love you. God wants to tell us over and over and over and over and over and over again, I love you. God loves you. And you may struggle with the love of God, or you may know that God loves you, but maybe you don't feel it in your heart. Or you just may need a reminder and a refresher of how much God loves you. Well, I want to go through some scriptures tonight and talk about how God loves us as His people, as His creation, and how He loves us even when we're sinning. He loves us when we love Him. He loves us when we come back to Him. And He loves us. He will love us forever. God's love is everlasting. It doesn't stop. It doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. And God will always love you. So if you need to hear again that God loves you, stick with me today, because I just want to encourage you and talk to you and speak to you straight from the heart of God. God says to you, I love you. If you would look at your message notes, you can read a few of the passages, just three right there at the top under message notes that talk about the love of God for you. And I want you just to read those, and I'm going to play the piano. And if you would just say a prayer to God while you read those, and just say, God, show me again how much you love me. And when I finish playing the piano, I just want to walk you through a number of scriptures and also just a few words straight from my heart, just to encourage you and tell you once again how much God loves you. Read those passages and just ask God to speak to your heart about His great love. Lord, I do just pray that Your love would be so evident to the people watching me, whether live or later, as this broadcast is recorded. Lord, I pray that they would sense Your love. For I know, God, that this week, this is a message that You want them to hear, that You will draw people to watch this message who need to hear it and who need to hear it again. And God, I just pray that You would comfort them and love them and show them Your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure when you think life begins or what your perception is of when conception begins and when life begins. Well, I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, that life begins at conception, meaning it begins when God conceives you. And you may be surprised to discover that God conceived of you way before your parents ever conceived of you. In fact, you may think that you weren't planned at all, but I can assure you that God has planned you. God has a purpose for your life. He has ordained the days of your life before one of them ever came to be. And I want to show you just two scriptures that talk about this, because God loved you before He even created you. Take a look with me in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Those are also printed on your message notes on your screen, but if you want to look in your own Bible, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. This is Jeremiah speaking, and he's saying that the word of the Lord came to me and said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Can you imagine that? Before Jeremiah was even born, before he was even formed in the womb, God knew him. It's the same for each one of us. God knew each one of us, and he planned for each one of us. Look in Psalm 139 what David says in verse 13 through 16. This is David praising God, just crying out to him because he can't imagine this incredible love of God. And he says in verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." David says, every day of my life was ordained and written down in your book, in God's book, before one of them ever came to be. That applies to each one of us. It applied to Jeremiah. It applied to David. It applies to you. It applies to me. God very much has a plan for us. And can you imagine that we didn't even have a chance to screw up back then in the womb, even before we were created? God loved us back before we were created. He loved us before we ever had a chance to do anything good or anything bad. He loved us before we went to work and had to do our performance evaluations for our boss. He loved us before we ever filled one of those out. He didn't care what our performance evaluation was. He loved us. He loved us because he's our Father, because he created us. And everything that he creates, he loves. He just loves you very much. And you may think, well, that's fine. But then I grew up, and I screwed up, and I made some mistakes. Well, it's true that the Bible says that he loves those who love him. And you may not find that surprising that God loves those who love him. Nehemiah 1:5 says that God has made a covenant of love with those who love him. But God also loves those who have sinned against him. And even while they were sinning, God still loves them. And if you struggle with the love of God, this may be one of your struggles. You struggle with whether God could love you still with all the things that you have done. Listen to Romans as Paul speaks in Romans 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." See, God not only tells us that he loves us, but he shows us that he loves us. It says here, he demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You're probably familiar with the famous passage in John 3:16 that talks about how God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this verse in Romans says he loved the world, not only the good people in the world, not only those who loved him, but he loved those who were sinning against him. Even Jesus on the cross, as he was dying and was praying about the people who were killing him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And Jesus died for those people, even those who killed him. God very much loves you when you love him, and he loves you even when you're sinning against him. Look at one more verse in Ephesians, where Paul talks about this one more time, about this great love of God and how it applies to us even while we're sinners, even while we're in our transgressions. Chapter 2, verse 4 of Ephesians says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." See, because of God's great love for us, it says, that he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions, which simply means sins, the things that we do wrong. Even while we were living a life that was killing us and we were dead in those transgressions, God's great love for us made us alive with Christ. So So God very much loves us, even when we've sinned against Him. He loved us before we were created, before we had anything to do, good or bad. He loved us while we're here on earth. He loves us when we're good. He loves us when we're bad. And you know what? He also loves us when we come back to Him. When we have been bad, we have done the things that are wrong, and we come back to Him, God is not going to turn away from us. God is going to open His arms wide to us and receive us back. And you may say, that's not possible. But I heard this week a story by Joseph Garlington. As I was listening to him talking about his grandson, and his grandson, whom he loved and played with all the time, he was just a little toddler, just could barely say anything at all. And yet he had come over to Joseph's house one day, and he had found a vase, a very precious vase that was on a coffee table, and he broke it. He dropped it, broke it, and all of a sudden he saw Joseph Garlington come out of the room with a look like he'd never seen his loving grandfather ever have. And as Joseph tells it, the little boy ran down the hall, pitter-patter, pitter-patter, and Joseph was making good steps on him, making good time to go catch this child who had just done this terrible thing. And all of a sudden the child stopped and turned around, threw out his arms like this and said, "Loveys, Pops, loveys," which was the way that he always came and greeted Joseph, to say, "Loveys, would you just hug me and give me a hug and give me your love?" And so Joseph scooped him up and couldn't do anything but just say, "Oh, you're just so precious to me. You're so much more valuable to me than that vase ever was. And I do love you." And then God spoke to Joseph and said, "Joseph, why don't you come to me the same way when you mess up?" See, when we mess up, we think we have to run away from God. We think, oh, God's not going to want us. We have to run away. And all we need to do is turn around and put our arms up and say, "Loveys, loveys, God, could you just love me?" And you'll be amazed. God will be there to love you. He may not be pleased with what you did, but He will love you. And if you don't believe me, look at what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke about a man who was in this very same situation. He had gone and done terrible things. He took all his father's money and went and spent it on awful living and doing things that were against God. And yet this prodigal son came back and came to his father and was feeling terrible and said, "I don't think my father's ever going to take me back, but I need to go back there. I need to go back to where I knew love was. I need to go back to the one who loved me, and that was my father." And it says, "While he," the son, "was still a long way off, his father saw him," because the father was looking for him, "and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to the father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Some of you may feel that way. You feel you're not worthy to be called God's son anymore. Look at what Jesus says the father will say to that son. "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." See, God will open His arms to you when you open your arms to Him. When you come back to Him, God will throw open His arms, and He, it says in here in the original translation, that He literally fell on His son as He was hugging him and holding him and having that compassion for him. He was so glad to see his son come back. And the Bible says that there will be rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents and comes back to God. So if you've been in a place where you feel like God couldn't possibly forgive you, you feel like you're unworthy, I can assure you, come back to God, and He will throw out His arms for you, and He will have His angels rejoice in heaven over you. See, God loves you so much. His love is everlasting. It started before you were born. It's been there through your whole life, when you were loving Him and when you were doing things against Him. And it will be there when you turn back to Him again. And when you say, "Loveys, Pops," God will be there, and He will give you a great big hug. Now, I just want to take you through just those verses that you read while I was playing the piano earlier, just so that you can see that this love really is everlasting. It really is great, and it really is for you. look first at the first of those three verses in Psalm 36, 5 through 7. This is about the greatness of love and how great its worth to us. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. How priceless is your unfailing love. It's so great, it reaches to the heavens. Look at this other verse in 1 John. It also talks about how great the love of God is. This is John, who walked with Jesus, and he was writing these words. And he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God. If you've never put your faith in Christ, today is the day to do that. We don't know how many days we're going to have left here on this earth. But one thing about coming back to God is that we need to put our faith in Christ. Because when Jesus died for us, he certainly died for our sins because God loved us and sent Jesus to do that. But we must receive that gift. We must receive what he's done for us, or else we aren't able to be reconciled with God. And those things that we've done that are against God keep us separated from God. But when we come back and put our faith in Christ and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I ask you to be my Lord. And I believe that you died and rose for my sins. Then God says that you will be saved. And you will be actually taken out of this earth and up into heaven with God when the day of judgment comes. Not because you've done great things, but because Christ did a great thing for you. So if you've never put your faith in Christ, you probably won't be able to feel nor experience this love that I'm talking about. And when you say, Jesus, I confess with my mouth that you are the Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, then you will be saved. And God will take you from that point just on and on through your life, experiencing the depths of his love, experiencing what he has done for you. And you'll be able to put your faith in Christ. There's that initial putting your faith in Christ, but we need to put our faith in Christ daily. If you've already done that, but you still struggle with God's love for you, you're not in an uncommon situation. We need to put our faith in Christ daily, meaning there are things that we are not going to be able to make it through life unless we have faith in Christ. We need faith to be saved. We need faith to be forgiven. We need faith to be healed. We need faith to prosper. We need faith for everything that we have in life. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I want to encourage you also just to put your faith in Christ again and say, God, I want to experience your love. I want to feel your love. I want to know what it is to sense your love and walk in your love and act on your love. And God will do that. He will pour it out on you. Just last week, I was with a bunch of men, about 1,200 men, mostly men. There were some women there too, but these were people who had been set free from the grips of homosexuality. And it was a number of people who ministered to people who had been set free from homosexuality. And at this conference, they were giving a lot of teaching and instruction for Christians who want to reach out with love and compassion to homosexuals and bring them back to the love of God and the Father. And as we stood around and watched all these men and saw them worship the Lord, these are people who were radically saved, who were experiencing the love of God. And it was worship like hardly anything you've ever seen before, because these people knew how great God's love was, because they had seen the depths of where they had been and how much God had forgiven. And the Bible says, when you've been forgiven much, you love much. And so it's just great to watch. And it's just a glimpse of what heaven will be, because there will be people who have been set free from all kinds of things in heaven. Set free from alcohol and gambling and drugs and adultery and on and on and on. The list goes on of things that people have been set free from by the power of Christ. So that is awaiting us, that great reunion of all the saints, all the people who have put their faith in Christ. So I just want to encourage you that the love of God is there. It's available to you, and we can receive it by faith in Christ. I want to sing a song with you and for you, and just ask God to bless you. There's a prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians, and I want to come back and pray that after we sing. But just a prayer that the people in Ephesus would know and love, they would know the love of God and how great it is, how deep and far and wide it is. And so I want to pray that for you as well, that God would put that in your heart. But if you would just listen to me sing and also just sing with me and just come back and express your love to God. This song is called Good to Me. And when we get to the verse, it just goes, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. And you can just sing that with me wherever you are. If you're at your office, you can sing quietly if you need to. And if you're in a place where you can sing loud, just get on your knees and sing loud to God. But just sing that God is good, because He really is good to us all the time, and He really does love us. So let's just worship the Lord a little bit and just let God come and speak to you and let you know that He loves you.
I cry out for your hand of mercy to heal me. I am weak and I need your love to free me. Oh Lord, my rock, my strength.
For you are good, for you are good to me.
Let me just pray with you that you would realize the depths of God's love for you. And this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, he said, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Paul wanted to pray that they would know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Lord, I do pray that for everyone listening to me right now, that they would know your love in a new way today, that they would feel it, that they would sense it, that they would realize that all their days were ordained for them before one of them ever came to be, that you love them before they were created, that you love them when they love you, that you love them when they mess up, and that you love them when they come back to you again. Lord, I pray your everlasting love would never leave us. I pray your Spirit would continue to remind us of how much you love us. I pray, God, for those who can't even comprehend the fact that you love them. I pray you give them a glimmer of hope today that you really do. And I pray they'd soon be able to hear your voice speak it to them. I pray they would feel your presence, your arms around them. I pray it would overpower them. how great your love is. Lord, for anyone who's never put their faith in Christ, I've asked that they would pray right now and ask for your forgiveness and receive it and believe it. That they would say, I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I now receive his forgiveness. I confess that he is Lord, and I believe that you raised him from the dead. Now please save me, as your word says you will. God, I know that you honor those prayers. Lord, for those who have sinned much and been forgiven of much, I pray that you would show your love to them much as well, and that they also would express their love to you over and above anything they've ever known before. God, as the prostitute came and wiped her tears on your feet, and a Pharisee sitting next to Jesus was surprised. So can't you believe what this woman is? Don't you know what she is? And Jesus replied, yes, I know exactly what she is. And she's been forgiven much, and that's why she loves much. Lord, I pray that you would let people know that no one is beyond your love. No one has messed up so bad that they can't experience your love anew today. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves you. It's more than a saying. It's more than just words. It's a fact. It's true. You can believe it. God loves you. If you'd like to talk more or pray more, you can talk with us after the live broadcast in the chat room at the ranch, or you can write me during the week at pokey@theranch.org, or you can look for me on ICQ and send me an instant message, and I'd be glad just to pray with you if I'm around and available. And I would just like to encourage you that God loves you, he hasn't left you, and he will be there for you in your time of need. Thanks for coming to the ranch. I hope you'll join again next week.